Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 13th day of June 2023. And I am so thrilled to have back on the program a dear old friend, one of my most favorite guests to interview, someone whom I have known since the infancy stages of my new birth in Christ in the 1980s. His name is Bill Shishko, and he is the pastor of The Haven Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Commack, Long Island, New York. And today we're going to be addressing the theme, The Church Before the Modern Watching World. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Bill Shishko.
Hey, Chris, good to be with you again.
Oh, I am thrilled to be interviewing you again. And I was so thrilled to visit for the very first time The Haven in Commack, Long Island, New York, during my most recent visit to Long Island. I have many, many, many times over the years joined you for worship at the church where you formerly pastored, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Franklin Square. This is actually a place that God used to help me cut my teeth on Reformed theology as a new babe in Christ, and I continue to visit there for decades and was thrilled to hear that after your retirement from the OPC in Franklin Square congregation, that you have returned to the pastoral ministry and have planted The Haven. And what I can't even formulate the words to describe how blessed I was and how the moving of my heart. I loved the way that you worship there. It is sort of a liturgical worship, but it is in no way dry and robotic and dull. It is filled with passion, and the enthusiasm with which the congregation responsorially is involved in that liturgy, which is not just one brief segment of the service, like many even Reformed Baptist churches have on occasion, they usually don't do this every Lord's Day, but on occasion they'll have a responsive psalm or something like that. But you have that throughout, a thread throughout the service. And it was a wonderful experience.
Praise the Lord. It was wonderful to have you there with us. My boys say, Dad, you're counterintuitive. Right now I'm 71 years old, involved in a church plant, busier than I ever have been in my life, but we're having a wonderful time at The Haven. God has been so good to us there.
Amen. It was so great also to see people that I have known since the 1980s who were actually members of the church where I was saved in the 1980s, and so glad to see that they are now at The Haven. What a great time of rekindling friendships. Why don't you just give our listeners a little bit more of a description of The Haven?
Yeah, The Haven is located at 16 Oaklawn Drive in Commack, New York. What a blessing. Last year we were, this is a small mission church. We're still in our earliest stages, but we were able to purchase a building that had been owned by a brethren group called Cleft of the Rock Bible Chapel. Now, the story of how that worked out is quite remarkable. But we found when our officers met with their remaining elders, that was in, let me think, my, it was October, about a year and a half ago, that in most things we were in total agreement. And as a result, they were going to give us the church and almost 2 acres of land right on Veterans Highway. But we'd agreed in advance that we wanted them to be able to continue their support of their missionaries. So they agreed on a price. I mean, remarkable. It was $425,000 for the building, the apartment that's above the church facility, 2 acres of land. We were able to get a loan from the Orthodox Presbyterian Church Loan Fund, that work on the facility. And it was actually a man you know, Joe Matone, who's a contractor. He and his crew took that building on like a baby, and over 6 months just transformed it, brought it up to date. And we've just finished actually renovating the apartment because we have an intern with us. So that's the sort of structural thing. And you're right about the worship. Language like dry, robotic, formalistic, those are no-no words for us. We take seriously that worship engages the whole person, and our worship services are organized, but they're delightful. We really enjoy what it is as a body to be hearing the word of God and then to be responding as a body. You see the liberating, in the right sense of the word, the liberating benefit of the regulative principle where your whole worship is governed by the word of God. So, and it was a delight to have you there, Chris. You have so many brothers and sisters that know you and love you.
Well, I really appreciated being there. And what a beautiful area of Commack that is as well. In fact, I visited the Cleft of the Rock Bible Church many years ago. It was probably in the 80s when I visited there for some event that they had. But I am so glad that that building is being continued to be used for the glory of God. If anybody wants more information about the Haven in Commack, Long Island, go to thehavenli.com. thehavenli.com, and hopefully I'll remember to repeat that before the program is over. Now, I know that our subject today, the church before the modern watching world, came about because of material that you used for lectures that you gave at the Machen Singles Conference Center in McDowell, Virginia, on Memorial Day weekend. Machen being, obviously, for those of you who know anything about the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, the founder of that fine denomination, J. Gresham Machen, who has become an actual hero to many people in and out of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. But why don't you tell us about how that event came to be and why this material is such a part of your passion that you wanted to discuss it today?
Yeah. Well, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Chris, I think this year is the 100th anniversary of the publication of Dr. Machen's volume, Christianity and Liberalism, mm-hmm. which was quite incendiary, actually, when it came out. Dr. Machen said that liberalism, which is kind of mainstream Protestantism that denies the authority of the scripture and so on, he was bold enough to say what is true, that liberalism in theology is not a different form of Christianity. It's not Christianity at all, because it denies the supernatural at every point, whether it's the denial of the inspiration and inerrancy of the scriptures, or the miracles of Christ, or the miracle of Christ himself, born of a virgin. And that book actually is what launched, so to speak, the fundamentalist modernist controversy of the 20th century that didn't just impact Presbyterians, but every mainline denomination. So that is really a classic book. It's such an honor to be part of the denomination that the Lord used Dr. Machen to found in 1936. The Machen, it's technically called the Machen Retreat and Conference Center, but brash New Yorker that I am, I began the conference by saying, I don't believe Christians retreat. A strategic withdrawal, yeah, that's fine. Jesus was withdrawing himself regularly, but I don't believe Christians retreat, so I call it the Machen Conference Center, but it's nestled in this beautiful area to the west of the Shenandoah Mountains in McDowell, Virginia. And they had 42 singles for that conference and some adults that they were allowed to tag along. And I was burdened for that, Chris. I am at this stage in my life, I'm deeply concerned that Reformed churches not get in a Reformed ghetto, and that they really get out there and bring the word of God to people. And even as Dr. Schaefer was concerned in 1970, when he gave these original, I believe they were addresses. I mean, I read them as books, The Church Before the Watching World and The Church at the End of the 20th Century. He was also very burdened that the evangelical church of his day and the Reformed church of his day be reaching out, especially to young people who are asking questions. That drove me. It's interesting. Last week you had Dr. Reynolds on.
That's right.
Who had the privilege of living at La Brie. I had the opportunity to go there, but the Lord wasn't able to work that out financially and in other ways. But Dr. Reynolds' pilgrimage, so to speak, and mine are remarkably parallel, and we're just both so thankful to Dr. Schaefer. But anyway, I wanted to build, especially on his work, The Church at the End of the 20th Century, although that's in tandem with The Church Before the Church and Before the Watching World, and that's what I did at the conference in 5 messages.
In fact, I want to let our listeners know that after this live broadcast is over, if you want to hear the interview I conducted with Dr. Gregory Reynolds on Your Father's La Brie, Reflections on the Ministry of Francis Schaefer, which is his new book, just type in to the IronSharpensIronRadio.com search engine, Reynolds, R-E-Y-N-O-L-D-S, and all of Dr. Reynolds' interviews will come up, and that would be at the very top. It was conducted on June 7th. And I hope that you are that you enjoy it. You know, when you just mentioned the Reformed ghetto, it reminded me of a conversation I had yesterday, last night. In fact, someone that you know, who was my pastor at Grace Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, for the last 6 years, John Miller. He just preached his final message for us because he accepted a call to Redeemer Baptist Church in Macon, Georgia. And he had his final sermon last night, and we had a time of refreshment and a farewell fellowship for him. And I don't know if you know Jim Eshelman.
I do. I've known Jim for many years.
Yes. In fact, I was actually confusing Jim with somebody else. Leon Blosser was who I had the conversation with. Last night, Leon Blosser has been a figure amongst Reformed Baptists going back to the 60s. He knows Arabic. He actually taught Arabic at Dickinson College. But he said to me, in reference to my pastor's luncheons that I have twice a year, where you have spoke, he said, you know, you're one of the only Reformed Baptists that I know that has an event like your luncheons where you are introducing the doctrines of grace to pastors from all different theological perspectives, and you're breaking out of this isolationism of Reformed people, and you're being used of God to introduce these men to books that never would have otherwise bought the books because they get them for free. And also to hear men of God like you, Bill, preach at these events. So I just came to my mind because you used the term a Reformed ghetto, which we have to stop that mentality of Reformed ghettos. And,
right.
Well, the theme that we have today, as you already, as we already mentioned, is the church before the modern watching world. And your messages built on Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. The first message was on not being conformed to this age. You were quite blunt that we are living and seeking to minister to a culture under God's wrath. Can you develop that for us a little bit?
Yeah, and I'm just building on what Dr. Schaefer said. These, the material that, well, I went through a lot of Dr. Schaefer's material, but the two things in particular that were somewhat foundational for what I did, Dr. Schaefer said exactly the same thing, because that's exactly what Romans chapter 1 says. If you want a commentary on our culture, it is Romans chapter 1, people worshiping and serving the creature more than the creator and God giving them up. But that section in Romans 1 and verse 19 begins with the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of those who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. And the point Dr. Schaefer made, as I made, that's so important, is if we are light about that truth, then we cut off what is a main portal to dealing with our culture. A wrath of God, there is God giving people up. It's not speaking of the wrath of God at the last day. We're still in a period in which there's God's mercy in the midst of his wrath. But we are given up, and all of those horrible things that you read in Romans chapter 1 are exactly the things that we see in our culture. It's interesting that in Romans 1, Paul particularly singles out sexual perversion. Men with men doing with one another that which is unseemly, and women the same. And then he says, and receiving in themselves the due penalty of their error. And I think, Chris, it's part of the soft peddling of the power of that chapter when people say that the sexually transmitted diseases that proliferate wherever there is sexual perversion, let alone the psychological confusion and emotional upset and so on. These are things that are the direct consequence of that sexual perversion. But even that is because God has given up our culture to idolatry. That's why, as that first message went on, I dealt with iconoclasm, that over against the idols of our age, Christians must be those who see certain things as idols and call that out. Some of the ones that, I mean, so many that come to mind. One is scientism, in which legitimate science is basically the best theory that you have given the data that's before you. Scientism takes that and turns it into a religion in which you believe these things as faith commitments. That would be an example. An idol is something that you look to make you happy or to bless you or to give you security or whatever. And there's any number of these. That first message dealt with that. And I, at the very end of each message, I had a key word, and that is iconoclasm. You have to stand. One of the points that I make with young people, especially, one of the challenges in this age, we're dealing with insanity in our culture. I mean, I don't have to delineate it. You've discussed it on your program. I mean, when a person so assumes to himself, supposedly, the right of deity, that he or she can self-identify in a way that is definitive in a culture, that's insanity. That's, and we have to learn to be able to say that in our culture without sounding arrogant and haughty. Some Christians can be, quite frankly, very non-Christian in the way they communicate those things, and then others will dance around these things and capitulate to them. We cannot and we must not. We must declare this is a culture that is experiencing various aspects of God's wrath, and there's where the gospel comes in, because God's wrath against his people is taken by Christ on the cross.
Amen. When you were mentioning the insanity of those that identify as a female if they are biological men and vice versa. It's the only thing I can think of right now, the only phenomenon that ever in my life we are being told to immediately, without in any kind of investigation or probing, take these people at their word and believe them. So we're to let biological males who think they're women into women's public restrooms, into locker rooms, and all these things. Oh, if they say that they're a woman, we got to believe it. And I've never even experienced that kind of phenomenon before, where we're supposed to instantly believe.
I mean, here's where fidelity to the scriptures is so important. The language it's used in Romans 1, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. God gave them over to a debased mind. Those are powerful words. A debased mind is a mind in which, if you think of the mind as currency, it's lost its value. And that is what we see. And again, without being haughty, I mean, as people who know that we're saved and kept by grace, the last thing we should be is proud. But without sounding proud and haughty, we've got to say these things in our culture. And especially for young people today, if they're not taught how to do that, and there's not some opening up of what that means, and Romans 1 gives us the data for that, not to be conformed to this age, we're losing a tremendous opportunity to bring light into darkness.
Well, we are going to go to our first commercial break right now. And if you do have a question for Pastor Bill Shishko on our theme, The Church Before the Modern Watching World, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Bill Shishko after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen, I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureComm Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureComm Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit SecureCommGroup.com. That's SecureCommGroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureComm Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering this mind-blowing opportunity for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Anybody who purchases jewelry valued at $100 or more from RoyalDiadem.com will ensure that we at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio get 100% of the profits from that sale if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when making your purchase. Whether you are purchasing a piece of jewelry that they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or if you're having a custom-designed piece of jewelry created, like an engagement ring, like taking your church logo, your parachurch ministry logo, your denomination logo, or your seminary logo, and turning it into a piece of jewelry like a ring or a pendant for a necklace, or anything else that your imagination and creativity can conjure up, they will take what is in your brain and turn it into a physical piece of jewelry that will absolutely blow your mind. It will take your breath away. I've seen firsthand the mastery and the craftsmanship that they pour into every piece of jewelry that they create. And I can assure you that you'll be satisfied because they work with you every step of the way on making sure that everything is that is being done is exactly according to your specifications. So please, if you have any intention on buying jewelry or having a custom designed piece of jewelry created, please go to royaldiadem.com soon because we have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this offer where we get 100% of the profits from the sale. That's royaldiadem.com, and make sure you mention Chris Aronson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are now back with my dear friend, Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven in Commack, Long Island, New York. And we are discussing the church before the modern watching world. I think that I will read the first two verses of Romans chapter 12 because you will be involved in that for most of the remainder of our discussion. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove that what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So that is what we are going to be. This is at the core of what we are addressing for the remainder of the program. And I don't know if you have finished in your description of the first message that you gave, and if you are complete, I will move on to the second message.
Yeah. The only thing I'd add, Chris, to what I said, it's a very important word for Christians, and it's the word antithesis. I wouldn't throw it around, but it's an important thing that at every point between believers and unbelievers, there is a radical difference of understanding, of interpretation in every way. And that we must maintain. Interestingly enough, if we're really going to communicate with the world, then we need to demonstrate how diametrically opposite of the world the Christian faith is. What we'll deal with now is, as we go on, these would be messages 2, 3, and 4 and 5, shows that it is precisely this difference, when it's communicated properly, that enables us to really minister to the world. But that's where we're going to go with this, I'm sure.
Now, before I move on to the second message that you gave, you used the word before the break, iconoclasts. And from my recollection of church history, that was a group of Protestants during the Reformation that, even in opposition to Luther, began to smash icons and statues and wanted to purge the church of that kind of thing. But what do you mean by that? Isn't that a bit strong?
Right. Now, I'm not talking about it like that, but I'm talking about the mind. When the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, casting down every high thought and imagination that lifts itself up against the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what I'm dealing with. It's the kind of root idea of iconoclasm. Let me give an example, Chris. I know you've addressed it on your program. This whole issue of our nation, is it a Christian nation? Are we part of Christendom? What about Christian nationalism? And I don't want to get into all those debates because, frankly, there's nuances to them. But when Christians, for example, put their nation above the kingdom of God, that needs to be stood against. It doesn't mean we don't love America and appreciate America and so on, but there's always that idolatrous tendency, and there's where iconoclast, icon would basically mean an idol. There's always that tendency to worship and serve the creature more than the creator. Another one, we could go on and on. You could do a whole program just in this. I mean, our culture, Chris, I don't need to convince you of this. The idol of our culture, even within the broader evangelical community, the idolatry is the idolatry of self. How can I feel happy? How can I grow in grace? How can I be prosperous? I don't know what it is, but God has really been displaced by man. It's that kind of icon or idol that needs to be opposed and brought down in the way we think and the way we act. I mean, some of the other ones that I mentioned, the technology, we're looking at AI as basically an equivalent of God. AI is an interesting thing because we live in a culture that can't understand its own story. And AI, artificial intelligence, is fascinating. There's no two ways about it. But it becomes a God replacement in that this technology is used to give the story that really only God can give. But yeah, that all of these messages are important. But this a holy iconoclasm in that sense, standing against those things that would be God replacements in our culture. That's what I'm getting at.
Well, in the second message, you spoke about being transformed by the renewing of your mind, as our text even says in Romans 12, and your key word was orthodoxy. What does orthodoxy mean? I'm constantly finding myself, when I mention a congregation like yours, the Haven, which is a congregation in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, people automatically think, what is this, a Scottish version of Eastern Orthodoxy? What's an Orthodox Presbyterian Church? Well, what are specific elements of orthodoxy that you developed in the message?
Orthodoxy simply means straight teaching. Mm-hmm. And that's been kind of an issue for the Orthodox Presbyterian Church right from the time it adopted the name. I get that, especially coming from Greek Orthodox background. In fact, when I was converted, about the only thing was good about that later was that I became part of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. And my Greek Orthodox family figured there's some hope for me. But it's a good word, and we ought to preserve it. What I was getting at, Chris, in the being transformed by the renewing of your mind, now you're looking at things positively and over against the idols of our culture. We need to hold truths that really stand against that culture in specific ways. One, I just adopted the title of Dr. Schaefer's book, God is There and He is Not Silent. Having a robust view of what we call general revelation, and the heavens declaring the glory of God and the firmament showing his handiwork, that's not going to tell us about salvation, but we need to stand against the atheism and agnosticism of our culture with a robust general, a view of general revelation, and certainly special revelation. For that, Chris, I always begin with Christ. What called him the great elephant in the room of human history. This is the Word made flesh. And for a culture that is saying, how can we even know God, rather than being on the defensive? In fact, very interesting, when Paul says in Romans 1 that the unbeliever is without excuse, the word he uses in the original is the unbeliever is without an apologetic. The unbeliever is without a defense of his position. And that's just the opposite of the way we think. We feel we're on the defensive with different things. Doesn't mean we should be mean and hateful and aggressive. But holding out what the doctrines that I presented, being transformed by the renewing of your mind, God is there and he's not silent. The second, which is so crucial, what Dr. Schaefer called the mannishness of man, or the humanity of humans, the fact that you're dealing with people who are not machines, they're not robots, they're not artificial intelligence, we're not somehow bits and bytes in a matrix, we're dealing with the image of God. That gives us a tremendous inroad in our culture where people don't even know how to define themselves. How interesting it is, they'll want to define, as it were, their gender, they don't even know what it is to define themselves as humans. So that community was the third one I developed, although we'll deal with that more in the third message. And then the importance of the end of all things. I love to tell people, Chris, that the kind of the metaphor for our culture is the airline pilot that comes on and he tells the passengers, well, I've got good news and I've got bad news. The good news is we are making tremendous time. The bad news is I have no idea where we are. pitifully, that is our culture. Where did you come from? Why are you here? Where are you going? Those would be the basic things, the God is there and he's not silent, the humanity of human beings, the fact that God has made us for community, and the fact that there's a purpose in all things. Those are things we must put front and center if we're going to really intersect with our culture and not be defensive about them.
Now, these elements of orthodoxy, why are they important for the church before the modern watching world, as your title implies? And is the modern world watching the church? Are they ignoring the church?
Definitely. On that last point, absolutely. You think that the world doesn't, and by the world, again, we're talking about a world system that's against God. We're not talking about Washington, D.C. or New York City or Carlisle, Pennsylvania. We're talking about a mindset that is against God and that infiltrates itself into the way people think and speak. And you think the world is not paying attention to the church, but let scandals come in the church. And the world is quick to point it out. Yes, the world is watching. And I believe, Chris, that my personal opinion is we are on the cusp of the world watching for a different reason. Our world system does not have ultimate answers. It can posit certain things that are opinions, but it really has no GPS to connect itself with unchanging things, above all else, God himself. And because of that, I strongly believe the world, I don't know if they call me the world system, but people in the world are going to be looking to the church for honest answers to things. I think that this was the impact of the late Dr. Tim Keller. He was seeking to address issues, particularly that New Yorkers were wrestling with, from the perspective of the Word of God. And regardless of what people might think of specifics about the late Dr. Keller's ministry, by God's grace, he succeeded in that. What I want to see is that done by all churches, by all ministers, and above all, by Christians as they speak in the world. And you can't do that apart from orthodoxy, which is straight teaching.
Now, your third message in the series was on community. You mentioned that just moments ago. How did you get that from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2?
Yeah, that's a great question, Chris. It's very interesting that the original in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, plural, a living sacrifice. And that's where I get community from this. Paul is saying what is kind of a commonplace in the New Testament and also in the Old Testament, but for our purposes, in the New Testament, where there's a toggling between the individual and the body. You see that in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 to 14, where Paul is certainly speaking about individuals and the use of their gifts, but he just very naturally starts speaking about the body. And that's what Paul is doing in Romans 12. He is certainly, as individuals, we're to be presenting ourselves to the Lord, but we do that in community. And what I did in that message, again, building in many ways on Dr. Schaefer in his book, The Church at the End of the 20th Century, I dealt with what to me is kind of the heart and soul of this whole thing, form and freedom. There are certain things that the scriptures give to describe I'll put it this way, a healthy church, final authority of the word of God, the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. God gathers together, we would say, as Presbyterians, as families or individuals, he gathers people together. There's a government of them. That government is a plurality of elders. There's a concern for temporal needs, the deacons in the church. There's accountability in one way or the other. These are some of the basic things that the New Testament lays out as essential to the form of the church. Freedom is where I think in many ways, Chris, especially Reformed churches, we're so concerned to do everything right, and I'm not taking any of that away, but in our desire to do right, sometimes we forget that God gives a good measure of freedom in the scriptures so that we might by all means win some. I'll give you an example. The Lord's Day Sabbath. And I'm not taking away two worship services on the Lord's Day. I have to say, I'm not convinced biblically, you can use morning and evening sacrifice, I guess, as an example, but I'm not convinced that the New Testament teaches the need of two worship services on the Lord's Day. Again, if you have it, that's wonderful. The whole day is to be spent in the public and private exercises of God's worship, especially what is to be taken up in works of necessity and mercy. As far as rest, quite frankly, in our frantic culture, where we're destroying ourselves by not honoring the Lord's Day, by getting some rest, that, it seems to me, needs to be emphasized. But it's mercy. In the UK, in the United Kingdom, if you went back 50 years, for example, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones was a leader in this. Their evening services were worship, but they were specifically geared toward evangelism. That was a way of reaching out to others, and I'm very, very sympathetic to that. I'm wondering in our culture how that can be done in churches by perhaps a less formal service, and allowing time for people to ask questions. That, I think, is in my opinion, 1 Corinthians 14, I think clearly in the gatherings of God's people, there were questions that were being asked. I think another one, I don't want to blather on, but hospitality. To open our homes on the Lord's Day, not just to other brothers and sisters in Christ, but to invite unbelievers into our homes and minister to them. Those are the kinds of things I was getting at when I was dealing with freedom in church life. Where the Word of God does not speak specifically to something and order something, we have freedom. And that freedom is to the end that we might be, the Bible says this, saving some. I happen to think personally, when Paul says we are not to those without law, we became as those who were without law, and yet not without law ultimately, but under the law of Christ. I think that's part of what Paul's getting at. Our Christ came into the world to save sinners, and part of being under law to Christ is how do I give myself in Christ's name to see others won. And I am, if I'm deeply burdened for any of this, it's particularly that churches, so they don't become think tanks, are those that are geared toward reaching out to others. I think the movie, The Jesus Revolution, and I think that kind of gave an example of it, where a pastor and pastors were willing to change the way they looked and the way they did things so they could reach out to people. Now, we could say they went too far at certain points. I'm not going to get into that. But the burden I appreciate, they went the extra mile to reach out to people who are asking good questions. That's what I want to see done, especially in Reformed churches in our day.
Amen. And you have a key phrase in your third message, countercultural community.
Love it.
We are definitely living in a day and age when the church could be called countercultural. But if you could explain.
Yeah, I love the phrase because I used it in it. But actually, Dr. Schaefer did it as well. He loved it. One thing I don't agree with Dr. Schaefer, many things, but when he would use the language revolutionary Christianity, that's jarring to me. The reformers were not revolutionaries. The Protestant reformers wanted to reform everything according to the Word of God. Countercultural community is essentially saying the same thing. Counterculture is over against a culture that is given up, that is under God's wrath, that suppresses the truth of God in unrighteousness. How do we let that truth show in all of the world? The Haven is an example of that. One of the reasons that the people who were the core group for that chose that name is because in many cases they had been in church situations that were very hurtful and harmful. Some of them had come from backgrounds where they frankly weren't welcome in particular churches. They came from, I don't want to go into all the specifics, but sinful backgrounds that didn't fit with the culture of a particular church. And I don't want to develop that even more, but they came with needs. They came with problems. The people have had problems with drug addiction, with alcoholism, with pornography. They're having serious marriage problems. I mean, that doesn't fit with a nice evangelical church.
In fact, could you pick up where you left off there when we return from our midway break?
Because we have I'm just getting going.
Yes, we can't forget where you left off there because that's very important. And please keep in mind, folks, this is the longer break in the middle of the show because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because the FCC requires of them to air their own public service announcements in order to localize geographically this program to Lake City, Florida. While they do that, we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. Please write down as much of the contact information as you possibly can for as many of our advertisers as you can so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers. And so I hope that you will be patient with us and don't go away. We are going to be right back with more of Bill Shishko.
James James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Patafuco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Butterfuco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark, and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest in buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And my Orthodox Presbyterian listeners today should be delighted to know that among the treasure trove of literature provided by solid-ground-books.com, you can also find Notes on Galatians by J. Gresham Machen, edited by John H. Skilton. So go to solid-ground-books.com and not only order that book, but look at the other very long list of other excellent Christian books dating back to the 16th century Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our current modern day, including such contemporary authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. That's solid-ground-books.com. Visit that site frequently, purchase generously, and always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And by the way, I am now looking at a plug, a commendation by my guest today, Pastor Bill Shishko, for this book, Notes on Galatians, by J. Gresham Machen. And Pastor Shishko says, "Dr. Machen was a master at crystal clear teaching, and his work on Galatians is a good model of this gift. In a day of confused and confusing teaching on this book, Dr. Machen reminds us of the dynamic power of this gospel of justification by faith alone in Christ alone that is opened so richly by the Apostle Paul. And I want to thank Pastor Shishko for endorsing that book. It's solid-ground-books.com. Before I return to Pastor Bill Shishko, I just have a couple of very important announcements to make. First of all, folks, if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, I'm urging you please to go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer snail mail, mailing in a physical check to a physical address the old-fashioned way, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, your parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or perhaps it's just a special event that you want to promote, as long as it is compatible with what I believe, you don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something that's compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign because we are just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, folks, please remember, I never want my listeners to give their own church where they are a member less money than you're accustomed to giving that church on the Lord's Day in order to bless us with a financial gift. In other words, don't cut into the money that you have set aside for your own church on the Lord's Day in order to bless us with a check. Don't do that. And if you're also struggling to survive and make ends meet, I don't want to add to a mountain of bills on your kitchen table that are left unpaid. So please wait until you are more financially stable and back on your feet before you send us a financial gift. There's two things that are crystal clear in the Bible about our responsibility and stewardship over our finances. That is, we are commanded to provide for our churches and our families. Providing for this radio show is obviously not a command. But if you do love this show, you don't want it to disappear, and you have extra money above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money collecting interest in the bank and available for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, please share some of that money with us if you want us to survive. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. I also want to remind our listeners that my dear friend of many years, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, will be conducting a three-day conference in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and it is on the theme, The Gospel at War, and we hope that you will not only attend, but bring family, friends, and loved ones with you. Keep abreast of updates on this. We do not yet have a venue in Lancaster for this. This is being conducted by my brand new latest advertiser, the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society. So if you want more details on this three-day event, March 15th, 16th, and 17th, go to midatlanticreformation.org, midatlanticreformation.org, and you can also go to futureofchristendom.org, futureofchristendom.org. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I may be able to help you find a church that is biblically faithful, like the Haven Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Commack, Long Island, New York. And I have helped people in all parts of the world find churches, sometimes within just a couple of minutes from where they live. That may be you, too, if you are without a church home. So please send me an email if that is the case. chrisarnson@gmail.com and put I need a church in the subject line. That's also the email address. You can send in a question to Pastor Bill Shishko today on our theme, The Church Before the Modern Watching World. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Before I go to any of those listeners who have already submitted questions, before the break, we were talking about countercultural community, and you were specifically explaining or describing a blueprint that you had for the Haven in Commack, Long Island, when you first planted this congregation.
Yeah, I don't know, Chris. It was a blueprint. Is more of it's a concept. But the church needs to. If the church is a hospital for sinners, come on, let's just deal with it. We come with all kinds of messes, and the church needs to demonstrate itself. Let me give an example. We mentioned in the antithesis and when God gives a culture up in Romans 1, the Lord especially singles out, after saying that we're given up to worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, he deals with the issue of sexual perversion. It's very clear in Romans chapter 1. And there's a reason for that coming right after idolatry, and it is because we are most prone to make idols of ourselves. Okay, so we emphasize that. But we don't want, we're not pointing the finger at people who are caught up in sexual sin. There but for the grace of God go I. But we can't stop there. Do we, for example, open our church facilities or our homes to minister to people? And here's where the example comes in. People who are converted out of a homosexual or a lesbian lifestyle, they have been part of a very closely knit community. And if there's not a replacement community for them, beginning with families, it will be very, very difficult for them to escape, because we're made for community. We are made to be living sacrifices. We're made to be a living sacrifice of individuals who present their bodies. So our home, you know, for Christians to say, my home, we open our home to people who struggle with sexual sins. Now, you've got to be careful watching out for children. I get that. But we, in one way or another, need to be opening up homes and church facilities for alternative community. That, Chris, is not a blueprint, but that would be an example of what we're talking about. Using the church facility for ways to reach out in the community. It used to be that I would say, well, a church facility should only have in it that which is in accord with its doctrinal standard. And as I've wrestled with that, I really think that's unbiblically narrow. I think your approach to your program, you don't want something that's explicitly contrary to what you believe. But your advertisers don't have to agree with you about everything. You promote books that you don't agree with, but you don't want something that is contrary to your doctrinal standard. Same thing with the church facility. We open up our church facility for blood drives. I don't know that people would even allow them to be places for voting, but there would be an example of it, to reach out to the police in your community, EMS workers in your community. One of the opportunities that we've got that we're working on now is the church facility at the Haven. And we're wrestling with these things, and this, we've only had the facility for a few months, but for people who are in families where there's been a suicide, and being real open about that. Now, that kind of work is difficult work, but that's what the gospel does. The gospel comes into the areas of our deepest hurts and pain and messiness and cleans things up. Church before the watching world, we need to demonstrate that to others.
By the way, I do want to plug an interview that I conducted with my guest today, Pastor Bill Shishko, a number of years ago, that has been helpful to many in the Iron Sharpens Zion radio audience who have contacted me over the years to let me know just how blessed they were by Pastor Bill's interview. And that took place, it was originally February 13th, day before my birthday, in 2008. And
wow.
That's when you were still pastoring at the Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Franklin Square. So if you type in suicide in the search engine of ironsharpensironradio.com, you will hear, or you will see the link for the audio for that interview with Pastor Bill Shishko on suicide. And you'll also see an interview I conducted with Dr. Ron Gleason on suicide, a Christian's response. So I hope that you are benefited by listening to those. Before I go to any more of your messages that were recently delivered at this Machen Conference Center in Virginia, I do have Andrew from Dalton, Georgia, who has a question. Greetings, brothers Chris and Bill. As I consider the matter at hand today, I am concerned to remark that the town in which I live has been growing exponentially over the last decade. We have a few confessionally reformed churches in the area, of which my family are members of one. There seems to be a resurgence of biblical orthodoxy in the area, such that we are seeing regular growth in these churches. We reformed folk even managed to get a Christ is Lord billboard placed here at the city square that Doug Wilson and company erected for buying so many of his new book, so many copies of his new book. And members of our church regularly go to public events to evangelize. This is all encouraging, and yet the biggest numbers of people seem to still flock to the mega seeker-sensitive church in our area, the name of which sounds more like a gym than a church, equipped with a fully furnished concession stand. Brother Bill, do you think that our commitment to regular faithfulness in the confessionally reformed church and our witness to those around us will cause these types of mega churches to diminish in their appeal?
Wow. I appreciate the question, and I'm thrilled. You've got all these New Yorkers that are flocking out of the state of New York and moving to Georgia and North Carolina. So I'm thrilled with what's going on there and your billboard and so on. That's a difficult question to answer. And I have to admit, for myself as a pastor, I think one of the things that I struggle with personally so much, and others do, is you try hard to be faithful to the Word of God, to reach out, to minister to people, to show the love of Christ in our worship service, that, as you put it before, to have life and so on. And yet you always want to do what the Lord says. And it seems that these mega churches are just attracting droves. So I guess I give a number of responses. You can't compete with entertainment. Let's be honest. In most of the mega churches, the issue, it really is a way of entertaining people, and that is one of the idols of our culture. And we don't try to compete with it. You can't. That's one thing. Number two is, and I know this from a pastor friend of mine who's a good friend with a mega church pastor here in the island. And this man is very honest and says, yeah, we get a lot of people that come in the front door. We get just as many going out the back. Where are they going? Well, if they have a hunger for the Word of God, then hopefully they'll find a faithful Reformed church and do it. And I think that will affect some. So I think that's something to keep in mind. The third is this, and this is more my speculation. I believe, Chris, we're coming to a point in our culture where people are fed up with being entertained. Entertainment is a little bit like the froth on a ginger ale or something. It doesn't go very far. Now our culture is facing some really, really difficult issues, especially with this gender dysphoria thing, with issues with drugs. What has happened as a result of the pandemic? This is bringing some serious issues that are not going to be dealt with by warm, fuzzy music and a motivational gospel message of 15 minutes or a message of some sort. So I think that we are looking ahead to a time where churches, if they are reaching out to people, they're trying to become all things to all people, that by all means they might save some. I think we're on the cusp of a time that churches like that are going to have their hands full with that kind of ministry. So I'm not sure that's really answering the brother's good question, but those are at least some of my thoughts about it.
I'd like to offer some words of encouragement, and I know that I've repeated this on this program before, so please forgive me, those of you who have heard this. But I remember a number of years ago, I heard a man at a Reformed conference who had a college campus ministry, evangelizing college students. And he said, although I'm not speaking for everyone, I'm not broad brushing here, but he said, it may surprise you to know that young people, millennials, Generation X, Generation Z, people who are starting to crave church life, either return to the stability of some kind of regular church attendance that they remember as a youth, or they just they realize that the world around them does not have the answers they crave. Very often, these young people do not want to attend a worship service that looks like a concert or feels and sounds like a concert, that looks like a bait and switch where people are pretending to provide for a congregation the world's music, and in an effort to lure them. And the oldest daughter of the woman who led me to Christ about 2 years ago, when she was living in Florida, she asked me for a recommendation of a church within 15 minutes from where she lived, because her husband, who is not a believer, did not want to drive more than 15 minutes to church. I found through her zip code a Reformed church that I recommended to her. She called me back about a week later and said, "I hope you're not mad at me, Chris, but I'm not going back to that church because I felt like I was at a concert. I did not feel the awe and reverence of worship there." Mm-hmm. And that woman, that young woman who now lives in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, where I live, she is now saved. She was baptized, and she is a very dynamic young woman, zealously professing and declaring the gospel of sovereign grace. So I'm thrilled to say that, but I just wanted to let our listener know that there is that hope that not everybody, and a growing number of young people, are not happy or satisfied or drawn to that whole mega church mentality.
Chris, if you let me just for a moment add to that, and, sure. And I appreciate that. You read Acts chapter 2 has been a center of gravity to me in church life, especially at the Haven. You have the people that were converted on the day of Pentecost, and they gather for the breaking of bread, for the apostles' doctrine, which is the word of God focused on Christ, the breaking of bread, which was the Lord's Supper and the meal that accompanied it, the fellowship, interestingly, and the prayers. And it was that fellowship that was a testimony before the modern world of that day. People saw that, and the text continues with, "And God added to their numbers those who are being saved." And I am deeply convinced that in community, mega churches don't have community. If they do, they do it in small groups. And I don't want to paint with too broad a brush. But people come, they listen to the music, they get the 15-minute devotional message, they go, that's not community. There is no substitute for community. And I think coming off of the compulsory lockdown, where community was torpedoed, if churches now are developing a truly inviting community, oh, I think that has a powerful testimony, apropos of what you just said, to the watching world. I think one thing, and that is included in this, we do need to be careful with our music. And here again, I don't want us to be iconoclasts in this. The old hymns, the singing of psalms, we must have that in worship. It's part of our history. But when words can be changed so that they communicate to people. I mean, "Here I raise mine Ebenezer." Somebody comes in and, "What on earth are you talking about?" And I have to admit, it just bothers me no end when I don't know about your circles, Chris, but at least ours, you use music that's done by the Gettys or by Sovereign Grace Music or by Church Works Media. These folks have done some tremendous contemporary hymns. And when you have people in a kind of a spastic way say, "Well, we don't do that. We only use the Trinity hymnal," or "We only use the Trinity Psalter hymnal." And I say, "Well, wait a minute. Where do you get that as the standard for what you do?" Right. That's an example of where freedom is so important.
In fact, nearly every Sunday in our church bulletin at Grace Baptist Church of Carlisle, where we have both the Trinity hymnal and a Psalter, but in the bulletin, nearly every Sunday, we have a Gettys song. And sometimes I have to glance down at the bottom because I'm thinking while I'm singing it that this is a treasured old hymn. And I have to look down. Oh, this is a Gettys song. So it's that is interesting. Before I go to any more listener questions, let me just say in your fourth message, you spoke about the ugliness that marks our modern culture and that Christians must demonstrate holy and heavenly beauty. Can you give us some examples? Why do you believe this is so important for the church before the modern watching world?
Yeah, thank you, Chris. That is so important. This is not just Christians saying this. The even in the secular world, the people have drawn attention to the ugliness of music, that it can be so destructive and hateful. The loss of meaning in television programs and in movies, the ugliness of the way social media, which in many ways is anti-social media, the way quote unquote social media can be used, the lack of manners in our culture, the treatment of human beings. Those are some of the examples of the ugliness of culture. The point I make there in that fourth message, when Paul says in Romans 12, he says that you might by testing approve the will of God, that which is good and pleasing and perfect. The will of God there is not God's decree. The will of God is God's revealed will. What God has revealed in the scriptures for the way we are to live is a powerful testimony of beauty in the midst of an ugly culture. And I used examples in there. Basically, you can develop the Ten Commandments, not as negatives, but as positives. But marriage, a marriage to the glory of God, is a beautiful thing in our culture. Just got to show it to others. Singleness to the glory of God. And I think Reformed churches and evangelical churches, I think maybe we've made too much of an idol of marriage. The Apostle Paul talks about singleness for those who can be single as a state in which you're freer to serve the Lord. And the examples of that we have in history and in the modern day are beautiful things. The commandments to have respect for authority is a beautiful thing in our culture. Respect for life is a beautiful thing. Respect for property. That's the whole point, over against the ugliness of a culture that has ditched God's commandments and shows its marks in that way. As Christians, we need to be showing again what the good and pleasing and perfect, which actually means mature, will of God. And it gives an example of it. We have a very immature culture. People think in immature ways and act in immature ways, whereas godly standards do bring not only a beauty, but a maturity. That's the burden of that fourth message.
Now, when you mentioned the idolatry of marriage, I have to admit that even though I obviously firmly believe in the God-breathed words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 7:9, it is better to marry than to burn with lust, but I have seen a trend amongst Reformed pastors and churches lately, especially, where there seems to be an unbalanced pressure declared to young people to quickly get married. And it seems that there is a push for them to rush into this. And it actually concerns me a great deal. Well, do you have any comments on that? Am I off base?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I have two on that, Chris. Number one, personally, I believe if a couple's mature, I am in favor of younger marriage. That's a big if, because we live in an immature culture, but it is better to marry than to burn. But the larger point about pushing marriage, I say this as a man who's married. I mean, I had to get to the point, Chris, I've been married 47 years now, but I had to get to the point about half a century ago where I said, Lord, I'm willing to be single to your glory, but you're going to have to change my wiring. And the Lord brought Margaret along. But Paul is so clear in there. And it's interesting, he says, in light of the present distress, and there's all kinds of understanding of what that is, but clearly this was a situation, a cultural situation, that made it very difficult for people to function in a married state. And then he says a person who's single is freer to serve the Lord. I as I said in the conference, I would like to somebody to open up that more as a single, as a married person, we can't do it, but a single person who could say, these are ways in which I am freer to serve the Lord and I revel in it. But that's an example though, Chris, of what I just mentioned about the idolatry of marriage. That can be what that is. If people are gifted with singleness, cultivate it.
And your last message, which opened up some of the meaning of the mercies of God in Romans 12:1, you gave a pattern for speaking the gospel to our modern culture. What's the pattern? Do you use that in your evangelism, and how?
Yeah. Thanks, Chris. It's not original to me. The pattern is basically people have a story. I began by talking about the meaninglessness of our culture. An example of that is the song Lost in the Universe by Jeremy Shane that I quoted. And it's pitiful, because here's a fellow that his idea of meaning is to be on a stage, to be esteemed as an actor. And yet he's not good enough. And so he ends up going out, getting another job and paying his bills, is the way the song goes. But it depicts meaninglessness. And in that culture of meaninglessness, Christians have the great story. It's been called the real true story. And what is it? It's creation. God made all things and made them good and wonderful. We're not basically evolved hydrogen. We're people made in God's image in a world that's good. But here's the second part of the story. There's the fall. And developing honestly what the fall brought into the world. And then there's redemption. And that grand plan of redemption promised and accomplished in Christ and worked out in individuals like you and me, when you, as I so, I'm so thankful, Chris, you extol the grace of God in your life. That's part of the grand story of redemption. And then of course, there's not just redemption, but there's consummation. But I think for practical purposes, because redemption is basically, we get a foretaste of what eternity will be by the work of the Spirit. I guess if I were to do it again, I just would have focused on creation, the fall, and redemption. But that's the story that we tell people. And again, you go back to the gospel to say, if you're going to make sense of the world, you have to come to grips with this thing we call Christmas, the birth of Christ, this thing we call Good Friday, the death of Christ, this thing that we call Easter, the resurrection of Christ and the ascension of Christ. We've got to go back to that, because human history revolves around that post-fall.
Well, we're going to our final break. It's going to be a lot more brief than the last one. Please, if you have questions, if you want to get in line, we do have a couple of people ahead of you. But send in the question to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be back with Bill Shishko right after these messages.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I've been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Bodie Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnes and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnes while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnson's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a longtime partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
And folks, don't forget that the ads you hear every day on this program for the Historical Bible Society, that organization, that ministry, is founded by my dear friend Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, who is also a personal injury and medical malpractice attorney. So if you know of anybody anywhere in the United States who has a serious injury that they are a victim of or a medical malpractice case, please call 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, and please mention that you heard about Buttafuoco and Associates from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with my guest, Bill Shishko, and before I go to any of the final listener questions, the key phrase for your last message was reality and bringing others into it. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. Which is interesting because for the last message, we were kind of running out of time. I didn't even get to it there, but it is important. As Christians, we are dealing with reality. The world is an Alice in Wonderland world, and we must not be condescending. We must not be proud. We must not be arrogant, but we do need to be honest. The real world is a world in which people live and move and have their very being in God. That's reality. But the latter part is important. We are to bring others into it. That's what evangelism is all about. We have used whatever godly means we can to see people brought from unreality and destruction to reality and life in Christ.
And what do you believe was the most important of your messages in the series, The Church Before the Modern Watching World?
Yeah, the form and freedom material, it's all important, but form and freedom is so important. We must stick to in our doctrine, in our practice, what the Word of God explicitly says. Where the Word of God does not explicitly command something and we're given freedom, use it to reach out to others. Again, the key text is that by all means, we might save some. This is a reference. I didn't have time to read it, but, and I won't read it on here because I don't have time either. But if you read Charles Spurgeon's morning and evening devotions, the morning that he has where he deals with Mark 2 and verse 4, when they came near to him for the press, they uncovered the roof where Jesus was. And when they'd broken it up, they let down the bed in which the sick of the palsy, the one sick of the palsy lay. Spurgeon has tremendous comments in there about reaching out to others. And he ends by saying, "Oh Lord, make us quick to suggest methods of reaching your poor, sin-sick ones and bold to carry them out at all hazards." That's my burden.
We have an anonymous listener who says, "Aren't we very often guilty of the sin of making our churches islands unto themselves? Not only do they sometimes have very little, if any, fellowship with churches that share their theological convictions and confessions, but even beyond that, there seems to be a total avoidance of those that might have some theological differences. I'm obviously not promoting ecumenism with Roman Catholics or Eastern Orthodox or cults, but at the same time, there are evangelicals that may be doing very important work in the kingdom, and we should be letting them know that we support them and love them in their efforts."
With a broken heart, I say yes to what the brother or sister wrote. And that's tragic, because the Lord has made us one people. We're not talking about, any more than Dr. Schaefer was talking about, alliances with unbelief and infidelity. But when we're dealing with other believers in Christ, maybe different levels of fellowship, but yeah, we should not be islands unto ourselves.
And of course, the listener who mentioned an exception of having ecumenical relationships with Roman Catholic churches and Eastern Orthodox churches, I'm assuming that he is arriving at that opinion that I share with him because of the gospel. When a church denies the gospel, we may love them. In fact, we're called to love them, and we can have friendly relationships with those that are in those congregations, but to actually have an ecumenical relationship is a very dangerous thing.
That's the burden of Dr. Schaefer's book, The Church Before the Watching World, is that on the one hand, we have to have observable love, but we have what he called absolute limits, the final authority of Scripture. He's spot on with that. And I would also, apropos of the brother or sister's question, Dr. Schaefer's little book, The Mark of the Christian, deals with this. It should be required reading for all Christians.
And we have somebody who actually beat me to the punch of asking you this very same question. We have Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, who asks, "I'm assuming these messages that you've been speaking of throughout this two-hour interview are recorded somewhere. How can we hear them?"
Yeah, they're all available at the Haven site on sermonaudio.com. So you go to sermonaudio.com, you search for, I don't know if it's the Haven OPC, or I think you just put in the Haven, and there you're going to get the messages from the Haven at Comac. And if you look for this, there's actually six messages. One is introductory, but after the introduction, those five messages develop what you asked here. So that would be at sermonaudio.com. Look for the Haven, and look for Machen Conference messages.
Well, I also want to repeat your website for anybody who is interested in paying a visit to the Haven in Comac, Long Island, or perhaps you want to refer that congregation to somebody that you know and love who does live in the Comac area. It's thehavenli.com, thehavenli.com. Do you have about a minute of summary that you could provide for our listeners today?
We've got to stick to biblical orthodoxy. We have to stick with it adamantly in our culture and not resist. At the same time, we've got to be able to take those truths that we hold and hold dear and must never give up and do every single thing we can to cause those truths to intersect with a culture that must hear them if it's going to be delivered from the wrath to come.
Amen. Pastor Bell, I look forward to many more opportunities, as many more as our Lord will allow in his good providence, for you to return to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And I really love you, brother. I can't say that enough. And please extend my love to your lovely bride, Margaret, and thank her again for me for the wonderful, warm hospitality I've received visiting the Haven in Comac.
Thanks, Chris. You're a very special brother. We love you, and we're so thankful for Iron Sharpens Iron. Press on.
Thank you. And I want to remind our listeners to listen tomorrow. That's Wednesday, June 14th, as my guest will be Joel Saint, pastor of Independence Reformed Bible Church of Morgantown, Pennsylvania, and chairman of our new sponsors on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society. He's going to be dealing with the theme, Calling Homosexuals to Repentance is an Act of Love. And I want to thank everybody who listened today, especially those who took the time to write in questions. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.